and in the Bein HaMetzarim, we're all waiting for Mashiach. The goal is the coming of Mashiach. When is Mashiach born? Chazal tells us Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. Now we're learning Sefer Malachi in Yom Diyoma, and Malachi is the last Navi. And the last Navi, the very end of Sefer Malachi, is Hilei Anochi. We learn this is the Haftarah for Hashabbos HaGadol. And what is the end of the end of Sefer Malachi? It says Hilei Anochi Shlech Lachem Eis Eliyah HaNavi. The hay is missing. What happened to the hay? What happened to the Vav? The Vav is missing. Eliyah HaNavi. The Vav is missing. Yaakov Avinu stole it. Yaakov Avinu stole the Vav from. He stole the Vav from Eliyahu.
Five times missing. Kosser and Yaakov spelled Molly 5 times. That's what they dash.
But over here, even when it says here, there's no Kri V'Chsif. The proper way to pronounce the name on this pasuk is people get very confused. Everyone get very confused about this. There is no Vav. It's not that the Vav is missing and we pronounce it Eliyahu. We don't do that. We pronounce it Eliyah. Hanavi, Lifnei, before Bo, Yom Hashem, the day that Hashem will come, Hagadol v'Hanayra. And what will he do? V'heishiv leif oves al bonim, v'leif bonim al avosam. He will restore the hearts of the avos to the children, and the children, the heart of the children to their fathers. And then the pasuk is very disturbing when it says at the very end, Penavo, if he does not do this, does not bring about this returning of the hearts, then Hashem will come and Hashem will destroy the earth with a curse, a cheren. Okay, we didn't learn this yet together with Mitzvah, we'll learn it soon, we'll learn Navi, but it's a it's a pretty frightening thing what it says in this pasuk, Eliyahu HaNavi. Now the sugi of Eliyahu HaNavi is an infinite sugi. There's no limit, there's no end to the material that is mentioned regarding Eliyahu HaNavi. Who is he? You know, he appears in Sefer Melachim. There's a whole story of Eliyahu HaNavi, what happened with him, Achav, the king of Achav. And Chazal tell us, Pinchas, Ze Eliyahu. Okay, so one thing at a time, but let's talk about some of the most basic elementary concepts. And that is, Eliyahu HaNavi, according to this pasuk, has to come before, we once mentioned this, before Mashiach. When it says here in this pasuk, Hinei Anochi Shlech Lachem Eis Eliyahu HaNavi, the pasuk very clearly says, Lifnei Bo Yoim Hashem HaGadol VeHanara. Now, define for me the Yoim Hashem. What is the Yoim Hashem? What is this? So what does Rashi here say? Does Rashi comment on this? No, there's no comment on Rashi. Rashi knew how to avoid all the controversy. And Rashi does not tell us what the Yoim Hashem is. Targum, does he say anything over here? Umeisi bin Kodom Hashem, Yoma da Asid, Umeisi min Kodom Hashem Rabu Bechila. Just doesn't seem also to translate what this day is. The Mitzudos David says, very interestingly, the Yoim Hashem HaGadol V'Hanoro Hu Yoim HaGimul, the day of retribution. What does that mean? I have no idea what that means. The day of retribution. Let's look on the page of the Radak. What does he say? The Yoim HaGadol Hu Lifnei Yoim HaMishpat, the day of judgment. The Yoim HaDin. Ibn Ezra, what does he say? Beheshiv? No, he doesn't comment. The ones that don't comment are very smart. They know to stay away from controversy. Okay, Rashi doesn't comment. Ibn Ezra doesn't comment. The Radak calls it the Yoim HaMishpat. The Mitzudos David calls it the Yoim HaGemul, day of retribution. Let's see what it says over here. The Maral. Amachol, you hear? Amachol says, Maral is not a Risha in the Maral. Shabbos shelifnei ha-pesach nikra shabbos ha-gadol v'harbe dver bo'a al zeh ve'imcha lo'y marak l'fish ma'atidim bo'in. He's not really getting into the series. Let's go over the tangent. Okay. It's very interesting that on the page here in the Negros Gedolos, it really doesn't tell us very much what is the Yoyim HaGadol VeHanoyim. However, I don't know why this is so. It seems that if you'll ask the average person in the street, and I'll take a poll here in this room, and I'll ask you when it says here, before Bo Yoyim Hashem, the day that Hashem comes, HaGadol VeHanoyim, for some reason, the average person in the street will tell you means the Yom Hashem HaGadol VeHanoyim is the day of the coming of the Melech HaMashiach. Isn't that what we all think?
Yes.
The Yom Hashem HaGadol, the day of Hashem HaGadol VeHanoyim is you waiting for the announcement. Did you hear what happened? I just got a text. I got a WhatsApp. Mashiach is here. Mashiach is here. Mashiach is on the scene. He's here. What? How do you know? Got a text, right? Isn't that the way we think about it today? Mashiach is here. That's the Yoyim Hashem HaGadol VeHanoyim. That's the way the average person translates this pasuk. Even though I'm looking now on the page over here of the Negros Gedolos, and Rashi doesn't say anything, and the Mitzudas David, he says it's the day of retribution. Their retribution is that day when Mashiach comes. I don't know. We don't really know how all these things are going to play out. And the other Farshim don't seem to say very much. The only one that wants to comment is the Radak, and he says it's the day of Mishpat, which is very similar to what it says in the Mitzudas. And everyone else over here is silent. But for some reason, Hanach Lohem Li Yisrael, in Einam Nevi'im, B'nei Nevi'im. If everyone seems to say, the average person will tell them it means Mashiach, Then the pasuk here is telling us that Eliyahu Hanavi must come before Mashiach comes. Now, what does it mean Mashiach coming? We have no understanding. What does it mean? What's going to happen when Mashiach comes? What's going to happen? Let's say today we get a message: Mashiach is here. There's a person who has arrived. I don't know where he is. They say he's going to come to Tzvas first. He's going to come to this place first, that place first, wherever he comes, and he's authentic. How will he prove his authenticity? I have no idea. But somehow he will prove his authenticity that he is the Melech HaMashiach. And then what? What's going to happen? I don't know. He's going to find a cure for all the diseases. He's going to reveal a cure to all the diseases. He's going to give everyone parnasa. Everyone's going to line up for Shaduchim.
All of these opinions are defining the mission, right?
What is the mission? So what is he going to do exactly? How long will it take him to accomplish his mission?
That judgment, which is basically the same thing.
What do these things mean? Obviously, how long will it take him? He's here. Here he is. He has arrived. Here he is. Here's the person. And now what? What's the first thing on his agenda? How long will it take him to accomplish what he has to? What is he supposed to accomplish? The truth is, no one knows anything. We have absolutely no idea whatsoever what is going to happen when he comes. He's going to come. He's going to prove his authenticity, that he is a Navi, he is a prophet, and he will say things, and the world will be enamored and be in awe of this person. And he's going to start giving instructions, and things are going to start happening. We are so far removed from this, from the what's going to happen. It's literally impossible for us to relate to the coming of Mashiach. Yet, it is our desire, it is our emunah, it is our command. Achak Eloi ani mamin beemunah shleim v'yas haMashiach v'yavah pi sheyis mamea achak Eloi. Bechol Yoim Sheyovo. We are yearning for something that we have absolutely no understanding of. Zero. And I visit a person every so often, and it's a woman, it's an elderly woman, it was a couple, an elderly couple, and she always says to me, oh, Mashiach, When will Mashiach come? When will Mashiach come? And I always think to myself, what do you mean by that? What do you expect? what are we expecting? The Chavetz Chaim had, they say, had a suitcase. Is it really true? A suitcase with all with his special his possessions that he was waiting to. I don't know what was in the suitcase. Clothing. I don't know. Waiting for Mashiach to come. Looking, waiting. Okay, Chavetz Chaim was an extremely holy person. But the average person, what are we expecting? I don't know. I don't think anyone that I know knows. Yet, it is our duty to yearn for this day when the Melech HaMashiach will arrive. And then what? I don't know. It's the Yom HaGodol VeHanoira. That's how we often translate this pasuk. Even though over here, at least in the page that I'm looking at, no one says that. No one says the Melech HaMashiach. Now, but as I told you, Hanachlo Hem LeYisrael, Im Einam Nevim B'nei Nevim. It must be true. If that's what this pasuk means, that's the way we all been brought up from the crib, that it means HaGodol VeHanoira, Yoim Hashem HaGodol VeHanoira, it's the Bias Melech HaMashiach. That's enough for me. It's enough for all of us. But now comes the problem. The problem is, it says here in the pasuk that Eliyahu HaNavi is coming lifnei bo Yoim Hashem. So, how can we yearn today for Mashiach to come? Achak lebechol yom sheyavoi, he's coming today. When the shir is over, by the time this shir is over, we're going to get a text. Mashiach is here. How could he come when, as far as we know, Eliyahu HaNavi has not shown up? Where is there's a prerequisite. There first must be Eliyahu HaNavi, okay? And then there will be the Yoim HaGodol VeHanoira, the Melech HaMashiach. If we're being mechakeloi for the Melech HaMashiach, well, where is Eliyahu HaNavi? Where is he? So what will you tell me? It'll come together. He's going to come 10 seconds before. That's not the way they show in the movies. They don't show in the movies that Eliyahu HaNavi is and the two people are coming. Oh, Mashiach is here. You have to revise the imaginary movies. You have to revise. We get the text. So we're waiting for that WhatsApp text. Guess what? Eliyahu HaNavi, Mashiach is here. No. The WhatsApp text has to say, guess what? Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach have arrived. What? That was one of the arguments.
One of the arguments is
how could Shabbosai Tzvi claim that he is Mashiach? Where is Eliyahu HaNavi? How could the Lubavitcher Rebbe be the Melech HaMashiach? Where is Eliyahu HaNavi? It says in the pasuk, "Hinei Anochi Shlach Lachem Eis Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem HaGodol VeHanoira." And if you're going to tell me that these words "Lifnei Bo Yoyim Hashem HaGodol VeHanoira" means the day of Mashiach coming, so there's a Seder Hadvarim, order. What is going on over here? Where is Eliyahu HaNavi? So there are two answers to this question. Answer number one is, this is an answer which a lot of the commentators say, and they say we have a principle called Ita and Achishena. Okay? The Ita Achishena, we learned this, when we say this part, Achishena, I will send you the Melech Mashiach in its proper time, and I will. Achishena is a contradiction. Achishena will hasten its coming. If Mashiach will come be'ito in its predestined time, then that's what this pasuk is describing. Eliyahu HaNavi will come lifnei bo yoim Hashem ha'gadol v'hanoira. At the end of Sefer Malachi, we are describing be'ito. Mashiach will come in its predestined time. The predestined time is whenever that is. Whatever that time is. If that's when Mashiach will come, then before Mashiach will come, Hashem will send us Eliyahu HaNavi to prepare us, so to speak, for the Bias HaMashiach. However, if we merit that Mashiach will come Achishena, Hashem will hasten the Geula, Mashiach can come at any moment without Melech HaMashiach. No Eliyahu HaNavi. Does that mean period, no Eliyahu HaNavi, or means Eliyahu HaNavi will come later on? I don't know. But this pasuk here in Malachi that tells us there's a Seder is only describing the Geula from the perspective of Be'ita. But if the Geula will come to us in the Geder, in the category of Achim Shena, this pasuk does not apply. Eliyahu HaNavi, who knows, maybe he won't come altogether. And if he will come, maybe he'll come afterwards, he'll come together. But the Ikkar will then be the Bias, the Melech HaMashiach. So we daven every single day. We want the Yom Sheyavo that he should come Melech HaMashiach. We misspell for Achri Shena, and Achri Shena is not subject to Eliyahu HaNavi. And that's what they gave for Shabsai Tzvi. And that's the answer for the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Those that have the moon of the Lubavitcher Rebbe could have been, in his lifetime, could have been the Melech HaMashiach. He was eligible, he was a candidate to be the Melech HaMashiach, even though we are not aware of any prophet living amongst us, was because they felt that the Rebbe was bringing Mashiach Achi Shena, was hastening the coming of Mashiach through encouraging Klal Yisrael to be observant, and therefore he is deserving to be Melech HaMashiach even without Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, that is a very valid answer, and this answer is cited across the board by many of the commentators. You don't need Eliyahu HaNavi for Mashiach. Now there's another answer, which appears to be a more accurate answer.
The Pasuk openly says
so I said, the Pasuk elsewhere says there are two Gidarim of Mashiach. There is Be'ita and Achi Shena. There are two channels. The channel of Ita. This pasuk in Malachi is describing Be'ita. It will come in its predestined time. Then you must have Eliyahu HaNavi. But if it comes in...
That's simple pshat.
Right, but if it comes Be'achi Shena, there's another approach to Mashiach, then this is cancelled. This whole thing does not apply. Melech HaMashiach can come in a moment's notice. You don't need to have Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi either won't come altogether, or will come later, or whatever. It's not relevant, Eliyahu HaNavi. What's relevant is the coming of Mashiach. When we pray for Mashiach to come today, when there is no Eliyahu, we are not aware Eliyahu HaNavi has come and told us to prepare. And Eliyahu is a Navi. Navi has to prove himself as well by giving signs to prove that he's a true prophet. And we, as far as we know, we have not heard anyone today is Eliyahu HaNavi. There's no Eliyahu HaNavi. How can Mashiach come? Because we'll be mistal for Mashiach to come in the category of Achi Shena. Hasten the Geula before its predestined time. And there's another answer, another very solid answer, and it's really what all the Mepharshim over here say on this page. The Yom HaGadol VeHameirah is not Bias HaMashiach. And we do not know how all of these things will play out, but there appears to be different eras of the end of days. There's the Chevle Mashiach, difficult times before the coming of Mashiach. There's Mashiach. Then there is Olam Haba. There is Techiyas HaMesim. There's Yom HaDin. There's what we learned over here in the beginning, Zechariah, the day of Melchemes Goyg U'Magoy, where Hashem will come and stand on Har HaZesim, and the mountain will split, and our enemies, the evil people, their bodies will melt. Their eyes will melt in their sockets. We read this psukim not that long ago when we studied Sefer Zechariah. The day when Hashem will come and stand upon Har HaZesim. That is the Yom HaGadol VeHanoira. Who told you that the Yom Hashem HaGadol VeHanoira is the day when the Melech HaMashiach will arrive? The Melech HaMashiach will arrive, and there will be other events that will happen. Maybe there will be Melchemes Goyg U'Magog will happen after the Melech HaMashiach. Maybe it will happen before Mashiach. But there will be a time when the Ribbono Shel Olam will present himself as described in Sefer Zechariah. The Omar Hashem will stand on Har HaZesim, and the mountain will split. That, and the enemies of the Jewish people will be obliterated. That is the Yom HaGadol VeHameira that we are describing over here in the Pasuk. Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VeHameira. And indeed, that's what the Mitzvah David says. It's the Yom HaGemul, the day of retribution.
That's not Torah
The last Shiva de Chemta. So but over here is exactly what it says over here in the Mitzvah de Stavit. It says over here the Yom HaGemul, the day of retribution. That's what the Radak says. The Yom HaMishpat, the day of judgment. The day of judgment is long after. Can be. We don't know how all these things play out, but it has nothing to do with the Melech HaMashiach. The Melech HaMashiach can come today, and there will be a process. What will the process be? Who knows what's going to happen? But at the end of this process, there's going to be a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come and stand on Har HaZeisim and reveal himself. And that revelation will bring about the obliteration of our enemies. That moment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to stand on Har HaZeisim, revealing himself, is going to demand a preparation on our part. And in order to properly prepare, the Melech HaMashiach will not be able to prepare us for this moment. That's not his role. The one that we need to prepare us for HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming on Har HaZeisim will be Eliyahu HaNavi. Hinei Anochi Shlech Lachem Is Eliyahu HaNavi will come. Lifnei Bo Yoyim HaShem, before HaShem comes. Bo means the arrival of HaShem, literally. Go back to Zechariah. In Zechariah, they have psukim like none other. We learned Zechariah not long ago. These are really the ultimate psukim of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come at the very end of Sefer Zechariah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to stand in Har HaZeisim. That's the spookiest part of the entire Tanakh. Okay, that's the spookiest part of that pasuk. The Amdu Perek Yudalit Pasuk Dalit. This is probably the spookiest pasuk in the entire Tanakh. Zechariah, Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Dalit, the Omidu Raglov, Bayoim Hahu Al Har HaZeisim, Asher Al Pnei Yerushalayim, Mikedem, V'Nivka, Har HaZeisim, Yechetzer Mizrocha, V'Yoma, Geigil Noid, Umosh, Chatziahar, Utsafon, V'Chetzer Negva. Where do you have a pasuk like this that says, you can go back to the previous pasuk, the Yotso Hashem, Venilcham Agoyim Ochem, Kiyom Hilcham, Hilochamo Biyom Kurov, the Amidu Raglov. That's the Yom Bo Hashem, Hagol the Hanoira, and that has nothing to do with the Melech HaMashiach. So therefore, it's totally relevant. Mashiach will come on his own, and that's what will Machakal B'chol Yom Sheyavai. And then at a later point in time, there's going to be this revelation of Hashem, and for that we're going to need Eliyahu HaNavi to prepare us. So that takes away the whole question from the very start. Okay, so this is a very basic principle. Now, let's elaborate upon the common denominator of whatever it is, of this idea. We learn over here about Eliyahu HaNavi, an incredible principle. What is his purpose? His purpose is basically to prepare us, to get us ready. To prepare us. Now, let's go a step back. What is a kohen? Someone told this to me very recently, made a very big impression upon me. I don't have a source for it, but I believe it to be true. We have in Klal Yisrael a group of people who are called kohanim. Kohanim, right? We call them up, we do brooks kohanim. Kohen. What is the role of a kohen? So what will you answer me? He does avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash he serves. He does the shechita, the kabbalah, the halacha, the zrika. He lights the candle. He does the ketores. The kohen gadol, the chief kohen gadol, goes into the kodesh hakodesh with the avoda. Kohen, okay. What does the word kohen mean in English? It means a priest. Priest. We know that Yisro was the kohen Midian, which we translate as the priest of Midian. He was the religious figure, the imam. He was the Pope. He was the Caliph. He was the Dalai Lama. He was a rabbinic figure, clergy, a priest. So in Klal Yisrael we have a Kohen. The Kohen is a holy person. A holy person, the real deal. The real deal. The Kohen. Okay, that's a very nice translation, I accept. There's another translation of Shamshon von Hirsch. He's very much into translating the word kohen to mean a teacher. Okay, how do you know that's a positive? Yatem tinuli mamleches kohanim, a kingdom of kohanim. Teachers, we're here to be an or lo'amim, a teacher, a noble profession, a teacher. there's another translation, the word kohen. It means a person who prepares, a person who is in a perpetual state of preparing. He prepares himself, he prepares you. Hachona. How do you know that? How do you know that the word kohen means? There's a principle in the Hebrew language where letters can be interchanged. I'll give you two examples that are explicit in the Torah. There's something called a keves, and there's something called a kesev. What is the difference between a keves, a sheep, and a kesev? Two words that appear in the Torah. Sometimes it says chof, beis, shin, kevesh, and sometimes it interchanges the last two letters, first the shin, and then the kes, and then the beis. Kesev. Basically, there's no difference.
It's the age.
What?
It's the age, no?
It's the?
The age.
Age.
One is like up the.
That's what
I'm
saying. I don't know.
I understand. Keves, kesev. Take that word. Keves. Chof, beis, shin. Chof, beis, shin means a lamb, a sheep. Kevesh, kevesh. There's another word, kesef. When the Torah, in the parish of Karbonos, sometimes the Torah, when the Torah is describing a baby sheep, sometimes it uses the word keves, and sometimes it uses the word kesef. It's the same exact word. The letters are interchanged, but it's the same word. What's the difference? There is no difference. I know you'll probably find a very, very, there is the Torah went out of its way to sometimes spell the word keves and sometimes kesev. Obviously, so the Torah, there's a reason. Okay, whatever the reasons. I remember over here, Rabbi,
I thought it was the age. One's up to 12 months and the other
one. Oh, the age. You're saying
the age.
I think they're the same age. I remember that Yedid Yehudenfeld, I forgot, he told me that he asked this question to Rabbi Belsky, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. What's the difference? And Rebelsky told him, I do not know. For the person who knows everything, for him to say, I do not know, is quite a statement. There's nothing that he did not know, Rebelsky. He knew everything, literally everything. And he told Yedid Hudenfeld, I do not know the difference between why sometimes it says in the Torah, keves, and sometimes it says kesef. Yedid Hudenfeld, I think at some point in time, he found the answer. He found the answer why it says sometimes keves and kesef, and he told Rebelsky what he found, and Rebelsky, every time he saw him subsequently, thanked him for telling him that the difference. I don't know if he told him, I don't remember what he told him. Okay, but basically, it doesn't make a difference. I'll give you another example. Simla and Salma. Simla and Salma. What does it mean, a simla? A garment. Why sometimes in Tanakh does it say Simla, the men first, and sometimes it says Salma, the Lamed first? I don't know. There must be a reason, but basically for our purposes, it doesn't make a difference. Sometimes the Torah, for whatever reason, interchanges letters. So interchanging letters is not just a Hasidic Shavart. This is not just some cute little thing you'll find on a parasha sheet and trying to pull over your head some make-believe gematria and relying upon the fact that you're not going to anyway make the calculation so they can pull it over your head. This is serious business. The Torah sometimes interchanges letters. By extension, the word Kohen, when you interchange the first two letters, okay, it's not the last letters, but when you interchange the first two letters, it means, the word is ha-chein. Ha-chein. What is the Sherish he-chaf-nun? Prepare. To prepare. Mi shemechin erev Shabbos, hu yoichal b'Shabbos. A person who prepares erev Shabbos will have what to eat on Shabbos. If you don't prepare erev Shabbos, you won't have what to eat. This world is the world of preparation. If you prepare yourself in this world, this world is a prose to Allah ilam haba. If you prepare yourself in this world, you'll have what to eat in the next world. If you don't prepare yourself in this world, you're not going to have what to eat in the next world. A kohen is a symbol of preparation. I'll give you an example to prove the point. How many days a year did a kohen work? He worked 2 days a year. Can you believe that? 2 days a year he worked. There were 24 mishmaros, approximately. There were 24 mishmaros. Every kohen was put in one of the 24 groups. The 24 groups alternated. They worked 1 week at a time. So every week, a new mishmar ascended from their city. They were on duty. They would come to the Beis HaMikdash and they would reside in the Beis HaMikdash for that week. When they were there, they were divided into 6 groups. And each kohen worked 1 day of the week of that mishmar. On Shabbos, they all worked together. I can imagine there was a lot to do, because Shabbos, you don't bring korbanos except for the korbanos. Maybe they took lots who were doing the lech lapanim. Yeah, but how many people do you need? You have the entire mishmar, it could be thousands and thousands of people. How many people would end up doing anything? Would they need to do in that? So how many people need lech lapanim? 3-4 people, to divide it? So how much would you get? You get a teeny mashu. Okay, fine. They had a gorilla, it's fine. But they didn't really have to work very hard. It doesn't seem they have, if you have thousands of kohanim in each mishmar, and you come to the Beis HaMikdash for 1 week, and you divide the 6 groups, you work 1 day, so on Shabbos you work together, and also you work with the other, with the incoming group. 2 mishmaros, they overlapped on Shabbos, so you didn't work too hard. So what you do when you go back, and you come back 24 weeks later. So that means you really work in the Beis HaMikdash 2 days a year. 48 weeks, right? 24 multiplied by 2 is 48. There are 54 weeks in the year, or maybe 50 weeks in the year. Approximately 2 days a year, you work in the Beis HaMikdash. So what do you do the rest of the year? You don't have land. The Sheva Levi didn't have agriculture. They didn't have karka. They didn't plant. They didn't sow. They didn't weed. They weren't working. Where did they go? They sat and learned. Why do you need to learn so much? They would prepare. You need to prepare a whole year. A whole year you need to be in Kollel to prepare what to do for 2 days a year. We'll give you a crash course. In 1 week, we'll teach you what you need to do. And we'll give you a refresher course. And when you need to come for, maybe we'll sit you down for a couple of minutes and we'll review the basics. Recertification. A whole year you need to be learning. Yeah, exactly. The whole essence of a kohen was a person who is hochein, who is constantly preparing, in a constant state of hachon. A whole year, they're preparing for that 1 day. And they are the moral conscience of Kol Yisrael. When you look at a kohen, you say to yourself, this guy, I have to support him? I gave him tshuva? I give him tshuva smaiser? I got to support him as in Kolo? Let him go to work. Right, so why did Hashem arrange that they have to support the Kohanim? Well, they have to be what? Because they work in the Beis HaMikdash? They work in the Beis HaMikdash 1 day a year. I also work. I go to shul. I'm the Gabbai in shul. I'm the Baal Kriya. I give a daf yom yishir. I work harder than them. I got to go support these guys? What's going on? They work 1 day a year? I work every day. I work 7 days. This guy will say, I'm the rabbi of the shul. I got to make a drasha every Shabbos. I got to perform every Shabbos. Give a bang-up drasha every Shabbos. And I got to go support the kohen who works 2 days a year. What's going on over here? The answer is the rabbi doesn't prepare. No offense. No offense. The rabbi doesn't appear. The Valkyria. The Rabelski, Rabelski was a genius. The Rabelski ever prepared a lane? So he, and the halacha says you have to appear before your lane. So Ben Gavra Legavra, while they made the Mishnah Berach in his mind to review the whole parasha. Ben Gavra Legavra, you prepare. But a kohen has to really prepare. He has to elevate his neshama to an exalted level of holiness. The Kohen really prepares. The other Klei Kodesh, they wing it. They wing it. They come late, they leave early, and they just, you know, they ask someone else to help them, they wing it. It's not the same type of quality preparation like a Kohen. The essence of a Kohen are the letters of his name, Hochein, to prepare. Hachona. It's preparation. Now,
Rabbi Levine?
Yeah.
How do you translate Lecha Hanoli?
To be a priest to me. Lecha Hano.
Not to serve.
Lecha Hano Chof Hei Nun. Kohen.
I know, but.
To serve as a priest.
To serve. So isn't it also.
The word is.
One who performs service.
Right. A Kohen means. I'm telling you a drush. I'm not telling you the Pashup Shat.
Okay.
The word is Chof Hei Nun. Chof Hei Nun. Right.
Okay.
The Chof Hei Nun. The word in its proper order. In its proper order is Chof Hei Nun. A priest, a servant of Hashem.
Servant.
A servant. That's the Pashup Shat. Yisro was the Kohen Midian. He was the priest of Midian. V'atem tihin yuli mamleches kohanim. A priest, a servant, a teacher. But there is a drush. And the drush, this is not my word. This was supposedly there's a makar for this. I have to just find the makar for it. I know someone. Rabbi Lenchitz, Shai Lenchitz told this to me a week ago. He told me this. He told me he'll get me the makar for this. Is that Kohen is the Oisiois Hochein. And there is a legitimate right we have to interchange letters, as we find in the Torah. The Torah interchanges letters. For example, Simla Salma. Keves Kesel.
What about Kaf Nun He?
Chaf Nun
Kano.
Kano, base.
Right.
Kano is a base.
Place.
Okay, that's another approach. But in this specific approach, the word Kohen, the reason why the three letters appear is because the word Kohen is related to the principle of preparation. And indeed, one of the roles of the Kohanim, it's not just the Kohanim is a servant of Hashem. It's not that he offers korban. It's not just that the Kohanim, they're teachers. Kohanim represent in Klal Yisrael a principle. They're a living example of a principle of preparation. Now, all the Bali Musa tell us that the Churban of our generation is the Churban of Hachona. The Churban of our generation is we have no problem. Today, Baruch Hashem, you know, Shabbos in America, you don't have to work on Shabbos. No one's going to fire you, even though it's not true. People get fired from not working on Shabbos. It's still true in certain professions. They get away with it. But generally,
in the private sector, you will.
In the private sector, even the public sector, there's a lot of pressure. All depends. You know, all depends. Everything depends. Generally, the Baruch Hashem in America, we've won the battle. No one's going to tell you if you're not going to work Saturday, don't come back Monday. It's not going to happen, at least openly. Shabbos, we've won the battle of Shabbos. We've won the battle of religion. You can do it everyone in America. What is the battle today? The battle today is the Hachona. It's unfortunately, we go into Yom Tov, we go into all the Moadim. It's very hard to properly prepare for all of the moments that are important. Shabbos, many of us just run into Shabbos. You run into Shabbos the last moment, you come late to Mincha, come late to Maariv, whatever it is. There's a lack of hachona, of prep for Pesach. Many people, when they come to the Seder, the first time they're looking at the words of the Haggadah are the night of Pesach. The last time they looked at the words of the Haggadah, and I'm talking about Big Talmidei Chachamim, was last year Pesach. How many people actually go through the entire Haggadah before Pesach and study the words?
Shabbos
study the words. Okay, Shabbos, so they also, you just run through, blah, blah, you run through it. How many people actually spend significant amount of time preparing to properly understand what it says in the Haggadah? Tisha B'Av, how many people before Tisha B'Av prepare the kinos? You come Tisha B'Av, you sit down at the kinos, it's Greek. Not even Greek, it's worse. It's some alien language. Some you want to talk about UFOs, they talk about in the news, they're UFOs. Kinos is proof of UFOs. A language and words that the average person has absolutely no clue. No, what is this? What are you giving me over here to read over here? What is this? Never can break your teeth on what it says in the kinos. The only way you can possibly come to Tisha B'Av is to go spend weeks, months to decipher what it says. And everything is like that. Whenever you come to Shabbos, the Baal Kriya gets up and he lanes. What did he say? What did the Baal Kriya, he lanes seven aliyahs. What did he say? What does it say? What did he say? What does it say in the Bible? I have no idea what he said. I just heard a stream of words and I heard everyone criticize, faster, 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 faster. Where I dive in, the rule is, we sacrifice accuracy for speed. That's the rule of thumb. What did the guy say up there? No idea. Why? There's no hachana. The Kohanim, Zman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayam, there are people, a whole body of people, who devoted their lives to preparing. To preparing for one day. By example, they were the moral conscience of Klal Yisrael. These Kohanim, what are they doing the whole day? They're learning, they're preparing. They're preparing for that glorious day when they're going to enter the holiest place in the world and serve Hashem, the Kedusha of the Tahara. And we support them for this. We support them. We give them good money. We make sure they have a good life so that they can prepare for that one day they're going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. If we're spending so much money that they should prepare, don't you think we should also prepare? Don't you think we should look at the big picture that this whole world is just one big preparation for the next world? The institution of Kohanim is an institute of Hachana. Okay? The institute of Hachana, the advancement of Hachana for Klal Yisrael. The higher level, what do they have all these on the buildings? The institute of the advancement of higher levels of Hachana for the Jewish people. That's what the incident of Kohanim is all about. Hachana. Now, who is Eliyahu HaNavi? Pinchas ze Eliyahu. Chazal tell us clear over and over again that last week's parasha, when Pinchas did an act of zealotry by murdering Zimri and Cosby and saving Klal Yisrael, Hashem gave him a big Yashu Koyach. This would have been a chumrah for Klal Yisrael had he not stepped up to the plate and murdered, executed them in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. And in reward for his act of zealotry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him many gifts. And one of the gifts was, you were never meant to be a Kohen. Who are going to be the Kohanim? I don't know how all this works. You have Aaron, Elazar, Isamar. But for some reason, Pinchas was not meant to be a Kohen. Even though Pinchas ben Elazar, ben Aaron, a Kohen. So who are going to be the Kohanim? How is it supposed to work?
Because he wasn't
meant to be, so who's going to be? Who's going to be the Kohanim?
Could have been it was from Isamar.
Who?
Could be Isamar's family. Isamar? His family.
But Pinchas was not meant to be, he would be just like us, Yisrael. Don't step into the Beis HaMikdash.
You're asking a question question.
They discussed, it was never meant to be for him, the Kohuna. In reward for what he has done, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, he gave him the blessing of Kuhuna. Bris Kuhunas Oilam. Why? Why is it Mida Kineged Mida to give him Kuhuna, to give him the blessing of Kuhuna for an act of zealotry? He's an extremist. He's an imamish, a fundamentalist. He's a dangerous person, this guy. A guy gets up in the middle of shul, takes out a weapon and kills someone. I mean, this guy is a thing. I wouldn't want to go near this guy. He doesn't like, I say something to him that I don't like, he'll take out his sword and chop off my head. He's a dangerous guy. Kohanim are known to be gentle, Oyev Shalom, Aaron Akoyev, the whole Klal Yisrael, they cried. What?
Akoyev has temper. No, he's talking about getting the kusha.
Okay. But Akoyev, Aaron Akoyev was known to be a gentleman. Oyev Shalom, the Roydev Shalom. The whole Klal Yisrael cried. No one cries over the loss of dangerous people. A vigilante. No one's a guy. He may make it on the front page of the New York Times that he died, but no one's crying over vigilante people that are dangerous. I don't want to go near vigilantes. If he doesn't like what I look like, he'll just kill me on the spot. Look what he did in front of the whole Klal Yisrael. He took out a sword. He chopped off. He killed the Nasi and he killed the daughter of Midian. Whew! This guy's a dangerous guy. Stay away from him. Hashem says, excellent. Yashakoyach. I'm going to give you many gifts, and one of the most significant gifts, you are going to be a Kohen. Not just a Kohen. Chazal tell us something shocking. Every single Kohen Gadol in the history of Klal Yisrael was a descendant of Pinchas. A descendant, not from Isama. Every single Kohen Gadol, chief Kohen, was a descendant of Pinchas. What? Pinchas? The zealot? The vigilante?
There was one from the summer.
Yeah?
What about the ones that were bribed?
Yeah.
They were also.
Yeah. But what they
there's
were,
always the good and the bad.
They weren't gone,
it's,
right.
It's the whole thing. What's the pshat? The pshat is poshut admo. With this principle, the pshat is so simple.
The problem is they say that had he killed Zimri and thing after he had been a Kohen, he would never have been allowed to do the avoda because he
that's another question,
murder,
right? That's,
that's
another,
the,
that's
the
another
basic
question.
Thought.
But what's the pshat?
Couldn't appoint him yet because he knew the future.
The pshat is, Moshe, when this event happened, no one knew what to do. No one knew what to do. Cosby, Zimri gets up and he does an act, an immoral act, publicly. Can you imagine? Publicly. He lives with a woman in front of the whole crowd in public. Moshe, who's matter you? If what I'm doing is awesome, who allowed you to go marry the daughter of Yisrael? No one knew what to do. Not even Moshe. What do we do now?
Well, Moshe knew what to do, according to some of the he knew what to do, but he felt hamstrung to do it. Because
okay, give it a piece. It's so serious. Yeah, okay, wait. But they were, he was, yeah, he was stuck in the middle. You know what it's like? It's like you're the rabbi of a shul, and then the laning, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the laning, there's a psul in the Sefer Torah. We're not sure. Maybe it is possible, maybe it's not possible. Rabbi, what's the halacha?
Give me a 5 minute.
What's the halacha? So ordinarily, when you ask the rabbi a question, what does he say? I'll call you back. Give me 5 minutes. And the rabbi goes, he looks up the halacha, or he calls up Moshe Feinstein, and then I'll tell him what the answer is. Okay, here's the answer. I knew the answer. I just wanted to give you the chapter and verse. I just want to give you chapter and verse. Rabbi, we don't have 5 minutes. The train leaves at 7:28, and we have to be out of shul. Rabbi, paskin now. You can't ask me a shayla on the spot. I'm not prepared to answer this difficult question. When this maysa happened with Zimri and Cosby, no one knew what to do. You know why they didn't know what to do? They weren't prepared. They weren't prepared for such a circumstance. The only one that was prepared for this emergency was Pinchas. Pinchas was on an exalted level of spirituality that he was prepared for everything, for anything. For anything. He knew what to do in any given situation. He had all the best training. Like, you know, I know someone who works in the fire department. He works for the fire department. He really rose to a lieutenant. He's at the highest level he can possibly go. The only thing on top now, he needs to be a political appointee. And he told him that he went for the city, in New York, they're very generous. They pay for training. He's been trained every type of emergency situation. He has many costumes. He has the hazmat stuff, and he has this stuff, and that stuff. He has a whole closet of different types of gear and uniform for any type of emergency. If someone is drowning, He has all the scuba gear. He has everything you could imagine. If you need an emergency, someone's drowned, I'm ready to go, get me on a helicopter, and he'll jump into the water, he'll be able to go scuba diving with all the gear. He's trained what to do. If someone is lost on top of a mountain, Mount Everest, I'm ready to go. I have special gear, I can breathe up there. If someone's stuck in the snow, I'm ready for that. If there's nuclear waste, I'm ready for that. A building collapses, I'm trained. This guy is trained. Any special training, he's a paramedic, and he's a this, and he's that. You name it, he's ready to go. He's ready to go. He has the gear. He has the skill. He has the certification. He's ready to go.
This week's Parsha has a problem with that because Moshe yelled at Pinchas after he said, well, okay, well, you know, I mean, he yelled at Pinchas to bring him back to Goyles.
But there are people that are prepared. Pinchas, we had a situation, an emergency. No one saw this emergency coming. Pinchas, because of his devotion to Hashem, because of his love for Hashem's service, he was prepared for anything. And here, there was an emergency. No one knew what to do. No one was able to deal with the situation, but Pinchas was. You know why he was able? Because he was prepared. Hashem, you were prepared for this situation? You deserve to be a Kohen. Because that is what a Kohen is. Before we explain, a Kohen is the Osiyos HaChein. The essence of Kohuna, the institution of Kohuna, is to people that are in a perpetual state of being prepared to serve. They work 2 days a year, yet they prepare the entire year for their service. They are the moral conscience of Klal Yisrael. If they're preparing, so we should also prepare. We should prepare for Shabbos, for Yom Tov, for Mashiach. We should prepare for Olam Haba. We have to prepare. They represent. Pinchas was the person that was prepared. Hashem says, you are prepared. Hinni noisein loy as minasag as bris kihunas oilam. Because that is what a Kohen is. A state of being prepared. Now, Chazal say, Pinchas ze Eliyahu. Who is Pinchas? Okay, this is a Chazal. You can't deny this Chazal. Everyone says, Pinchas is Eliyahu. Hine anoichi sholeach lochem is Eliyahu hanavi lifnei bo yoyim Hashem hagol v'hanoiro. What is the purpose of Eliyahu hanavi coming? What do we need him to come for? Especially now that we've had this whole discussion that Pinchas doesn't really have to come before Melech HaMashiach. Okay, that whole Mashiach can come even without Eliyahu HaNavi coming. So what then is the purpose of Eliyahu HaNavi coming? If he's coming with Nebo Yoyim Hashem. If when we discuss, does it mean the day of Mashiach coming? Does it mean the day of Mishpat Gemul? The day when Hashem will fill Har HaZeisim? The answer is, he's coming to prepare us. The Heishiv Leif Avos Albanim V'Leif Banim Al Avos is a vague expression. What does it mean exactly? He will restore the heart of the Avos and the Banim. The Banim. They're very nice words. He's gonna be unity. These are nice words. But what do they really mean? These words. What they really mean is, being that we know that Pinchas Ze'eliyah, and that we know that Kohuni represented all the pieces of the puzzle together. To come to understand what this passage means. Eliyahu Kohuna is all about preparation. Pinchas is Eliyahu. Pinchas received Kohuna as a reward for being prepared for an event that no one else was prepared for. And now Pinchas is Eliyahu. Eliyahu is going to be the one that's going to be sent to us before this very significant day. Why do we need him to come? We need someone to prepare us. This day, whether Bo Yom Hashem HaGol V'Hanor is the day of Mashiach coming, or if the day is the day of Gemul Mishpat, the Yom HaDin, or if it's the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal himself on Har HaZeisim, we cannot just come to this day the way we are. We need to be conditioned. We need to be prepared. Pinchas is the master of preparation. There's no one in Tanakh that is more sensitive to the principle of being prepared for a difficult situation other than Pinchas. He was the only one that was prepared to deal with the mice of Kozbi and Zimri. And that's why he became a Kohen. A Kohen from whom came all the Kohanim Gadol. Because the Institute of Kohuna is an Institute of Hachana. And now when it comes to Melech HaMashiach, or it comes to Yom HaDin HaGadol, are we ready? Are we ready? If Mashiach comes today, what do we do? What do we do? No, there's a joke of what Yashiv said. What is, no, Rashom Zalman Arbach. When he was alive, the end of his life was the time when there was a proliferation of digital cameras. Okay, before the smartphone came along, you remember it used to be a time when it was a $1 billion business, digital cameras. The digital camera business now is in the garbage. No one buys digital cameras anymore. Why? Because every smartphone has a digital camera that's better than any digital camera you could ever buy. Remember, there used to be a time of digital cameras. So that was the day when the end of his life was, when there's a proliferation, that when the Shia comes, you know what they're going to do? The first thing is take a picture. Take a picture. That's the first thing they're going to do, take a picture. It's a joke. What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. We need to be prepared. Eliyahu Hanavi is Pinchas. Pinchas is given the gift of Kohuna, being prepared. He got that because he knew what he was prepared. He's coming to prepare us. And it just goes to show how unprepared we are for the coming Mashiach. I want to tell you a drush to bring out this point. Why old drush? It's not part of, we'll end with this. Take little utility in a very short time. In Birchas HaMazon. In Birchas HaMazon, when we pray for Mashiach to come, the Geula, in the middle of Birchas HaMazon, we ask Hashem that we should not be put to shame. Lowly day matnas bosa vadan, without parnasa, without being put, without suffering, bizyonis. Ein mikro yoitze vide pshuta, there's no question. The only thing that I think about is the pashup shot. Elokeinu avinu, we read it, rachem Hashem elokeinu al yisholamech, v'al yirushalayim yirech, v'al tzir mishkan kelech, v'al malchus beisav mishichecha, v'al habayis hagadol, v'al hakadosh nukashimcha olaf. Elokeinu avinu. Okay, fine. And then when we finish, we say, after we finish the end of this, we say, Uvinei Yerushalmi HaKadosh, Uvinei Yerushalmi HaKadosh, Baruch HaTashem, Baruch HaKadosh, Baruch HaKadosh, Amen. We're davening over here for Yerushalayim. For Yerushalayim, for Tzion, for the Malchus Beis David, for the Beis HaMikdash. And we conclude, Uvinei Yerushalmi. Why in the middle of this bracha do we go off on a tangent? It's so bizarre. Elokeinu avinu re'enu zuneinu parneseinu v'chalkeleinu v'harichenu v'harvach lana shalokeinu mehera mikol tzereseinu. Okay, maybe that. V'no'al tatshichenu Hashem alokeinu lo lidei matenas bosor v'adam v'lo lidei halva asam kim liyotcha hamoleya hapasucha hakadosha v'yarchava shelo nevosh. We should not be put to shame v'lo nikolein li'olam v'oreh. What is this doing here? What's this doing here? We're davening over here a bracha for Yerushalayim. The bracha for Parnasa is the first bracha. Hazon Hesa'ol. Then we thank Hashem for Eretz Yisrael, for the Bismillah of them. And then we come to Yerushalayim. And in the middle of Yerushalayim, we're going back to Parnasa. Okay, that's why everyone needs parnasa. Everyone doesn't want to suffer this yoinos. I'm all for it, believe me. But it belongs in the first bracha. It doesn't belong in the middle of Yerushalayim. What's going on over here? Lonely day matnas basar v'dam. What's going on over here? So I want to suggest the thought, and it's really built on over here. We start over here. Just start over here today. That we have a that does Eliyahu HaNavi have to come before Mashiach? So we said that it says in the end of Malachi, he does. Yet we see that many of the Gedolei Yisrael say, "Achakelo bechol yom shiyavim." He doesn't have to come. Mashiach can come immediately. You don't need a Leon Navi to come before Mashiach. And what was the answer we gave? There are two ways Mashiach can come: Beita and Achishena. If Eliyahu HaNavi comes Beita, if Mashiach comes Beita, Eliyahu HaNavi must come first. If Eliyahu HaNavi comes Achishena, if Mashiach comes, we don't need Eliyahu HaNavi. Now let's understand. What do we need Eliyahu to come for? We spend a lot of time to prepare us. Why? We're not prepared. But if Mashiach will come Achishena, before it's time, we don't need to be prepared. Why not? Because we are prepared. Because if we are zoichet to bring Mashiach before it's time, it obviously means that we have worked on ourselves, we have elevated ourselves, and we are deserving Mashiach should come right now. We've done the preparation. If we have done the preparation on our own, we don't need Eliyahu. The only reason why Eliyahu is because Eliyahu, he represents, I'm going to get you ready. When do we need to be gotten ready? Is if we're not deserving. When are we not deserving? Be'ita. Be'ita. We blew it. Mashiach's coming at the very, very, very end, Be'ita. So we're not ready. We're not deserving. So now Hashem has to send Eliyahu to get us ready. But if we, on our own, get ready, we elevate ourselves to Torah, Tzibur, Shul, Maisim, Tovim, we're ready. So we don't need Eliyahu. That's why you don't need Eliyahu. Then right away, Mashiach can come without Eliyahu. Over here, we're praying for the Geula. And we know we're praying for, this is a shocking Jewish, I'm telling you, we're praying that Eliyahu HaNavi should not come. V'lo lidei matnas basar v'dam. When Eliyahu HaNavi comes, you know what he's going to give you? Free lessons. Free musa. Normally, you need to go, bar mitzvah boy, you want bar mitzvah lessons? You got to pay. Right? You gotta pay for the lessons. So Eliyahu HaNavi is gonna give us free lessons to teach you to get ready. Hashem, I don't need his lessons. Lo lidei the matana of the preparation of the basar v'dam, Eliyahu HaNavi. He's the basar v'dam, Eliyahu HaNavi. Pinchas Eliyahu. He went in the zguf to Shemayim. The lowly, the halva awesome. I don't want you to all these expressions. We only want to come on to you directly, Hashem, because if Eliyahu HaNavi will come, you know what it means? It's shameful. It means we're not ready, and we need someone to whip us into shape. So here, when we pray, Rachem Hashem Elokeinu Al Yisrael Nachu Yal Yisrael Nachu Yal Tzim Shkayim Vedechem Malchus Bem Shechacha Yal Abayis Vedechem Yal Yisrael Shulcholav. Hashem, bring Mashiach now, and Hashem, we don't want Eliyahu. Forget about Eliyahu. Could you imagine that we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Eliyahu should not come, that we should come Achishena, we should prepare ourselves, only you, us, and you, Hashem, because if Eliyahu has to come and get us ready, this is a bizoyon. This is nikoshel v'nikolein. We're put to shame that we're not ready, and we need someone to give us lessons in Yirah Shemayim to be ready. When we finish the whole benching and Mashiach is not here, then we have to come on to plan B. Rachamon, who yishlach lanu, es Eliyahu HaNavi, zochur latoy, vivaser lanu, b'seres tevos yeshua sinechomets. If we mess up, Rachim, and Hashem does not answer our tefillah to avoid Eliyahu HaNavi, we can do it on our own, no? Then we have to fall back on Eliyahu HaNavi. Okay, everybody, so we'll stop here. Thank you for coming one more day.